Our scripture this morning is taken from Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, the well-known story of the birth of our Lord as Luke records the account of our Savior's birth, as Luke records for us the events and the account of our Savior's birth and how it happened. Luke, who was a doctor, recorded the events for us in a historical setting and placed it in the time that we can understand it. Let's hear this wonderful story once again, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1 through 20. The scripture declares, Luke writing, that in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house in the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And here ends the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this wonderful account of the coming of our Savior, your Son, to us. As we look into your word again this morning and share in this great event, Lord, may we hear something new from you. May our hearts be encouraged. May we behold you anew and afresh, in a fresh way today, that we have a new encounter with you. That we leave here this morning, just like the shepherds, we will leave here with our life changed and transformed because we've seen you anew and afresh again. So through your word, speak to our hearts, and we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. A Sunday school teacher was teaching her children about Jesus and his birth. And she had asked, after she was reviewing the lesson, and she said, asked her the question, she said, "Well, where was Jesus born?" And little Johnny raised his hand. He said, I know. And she said, "Where, John?" He said, "He was born in Philadelphia." She said, "No, he was not born in Philadelphia." She said, then he said, "Oh, I know. Then he was Pittsburgh. He was born in Pittsburgh." She said, "No, wasn't Pittsburgh either." She said, "Does anybody know?" She said, "Jesus was born in Bethlehem." He said, "Oh, I knew it was somewhere in Pennsylvania." Just like that child in the Sunday school class, there is a lot of misunderstanding relating to the birth of Jesus and what this day means for us. Some see the celebration of Christmas as nothing more than just family getting together, opening gifts, maybe having a dinner. Some see the celebration of Christmas as maybe the celebration of a baby that might have been born. And they might know the story a little bit about Jesus and the birth of Jesus, but not much beyond that. And there's a lot that they don't fully understand what this meaning of this day that we celebrate is all about. The true depth of why we truly rejoice. And the life-changing event, because what happened on Christmas changed history forever. Do you believe that? It was significant. And the child who was laid in the manger was not an ordinary baby that was born that night. And we've been going through the Advent season with the theme, Heaven and Nature Sing. And we've been reflecting on some of the Christmas carols of Christmas and what we can learn from them and how the theological meaning of those from the scripture. And this morning, where's one, What Child Is This?, deals with that question. What child is this that was laid in the manger, that was born in Bethlehem all those years ago? Was the child that was laid there just a normal baby? Did he come about through the birth by the normal process? Or was there more? And the hymn writer who wrote What Child Is This? Was written by William Chatterson Dix. He was an English businessman in the insurance trade. And he wrote the much beloved lyrics to this hymn, Christmas Carol, What Child Is This?, in 1865. After a near fatal sickness in his life, it had resulted from a personal spiritual awakening in him, which after that led him to write a number of hymns, What Child Is This being one of them. He took the words and paired it with a popular English folk song called Greensleeves, which was a popular pub song of the day that they would often sing in the pubs. And he paired it also with other songs through the years. But the lyrics and music develop a perfect combination in a quiet reflection which explores and answers that question, what child is this? And the simple child of such humble birth ends up in the hymn with praise that he is not just a simple child, but he is the Christ, the Son of God. And that hymn causes us to reflect and to answer that question, what child is this? This morning, as we go to the Word of God and we look at Luke's account of the story of Jesus, we want to answer that question, what child is this? Because Luke tells us, and through the writing of the Word of God, he reveals to us in his account 5 answers to that question, what child is this that was born that we celebrate? Who is it that was placed in the manger and born at Christmas? Was he just an ordinary baby? Of course, we know the answer to that is no. What child is this? The first thing we learn is that he is the sovereign God who will accomplish his good purpose. The child who was laid in the manger was none other than God himself, the sovereign creator of all. And it just blows our mind when we try to think of that, that God was orchestrating and arranging all the events leading up to his own birth and arrival and for the fulfillment of his plan. And Luke records that in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And this census caused Joseph to leave the town of Nazareth and to go to Bethlehem. Now, Mary and Joseph lived in Nazareth, which was up in the north. Bethlehem was down in Judea in the south. Now, the word of God had predicted in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem, the city of David. So if Mary and Joseph lived in Nazareth, but he was to be born in Bethlehem, how was he going to arrive there? How was God's word going to be fulfilled? Our God, who was born and laid in the manger, is a sovereign God who is orchestrating in every part of his life, and he was orchestrating the own events to his own arrival. Caesar Augustus made a decree. And in his decree, he was a Roman emperor, And he made a decree that everybody in the Roman Empire had to go and be counted for a census. And the census was for the purpose of taxes. He wanted to know how many people he had so he could levy taxes on them. He also wanted to know how many young men he had so he could conscript them for the army. But he didn't require them just to be counted. He required them to go back to their ancestral home. Wherever their ancestral home was, that's where they had to register for the census and to be counted. Now I ask you this morning, was that coincidental? Was that coincidental that Caesar Augustus, a pagan Roman ruler, who had no regard for the Lord whatsoever, or didn't even understand his word or the plan of God, issued a decree at that time requiring Mary and Joseph to leave Nazareth and to go to Bethlehem in fulfillment of God's word? Was that coincidental? That's the plan of God. And in every detail of that, God was orchestrating behind the scenes, arranging it for the arrival, for his own arrival on earth. Even when they got to Bethlehem, there was no place. And God chose the place of his arrival, a manger. And what does this teach us? This teaches us that if God took great care to arrange every detail for his own arrival and the arrival of the birth of his son, do you think he is able to bring about his good purpose in you? Do you think he cares about you that much that he can arrange every detail of our life in fulfillment of his good purpose and plan for your life? The Lord says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to give you a future. Plans to prosper. And God has good plans for you and I. And do you think he's able to bring those about? Of course he is. He's the sovereign God. Galatians tells us that in the right moment, at just the right time, Jesus made his arrival on earth. Because God was behind the scenes, the sovereign God, orchestrating all of that and bringing it into full completion. So who was this child? He wasn't just an ordinary baby. He was the sovereign God who brings about his good purpose in us. The one we worship, the one we celebrate today, is the one who is on the throne, the one who is in control, the one who's at work in your life. So we don't have to doubt. We can rejoice because he is arranging his good work in you. And the scripture says in Philippians that he is able, he who started that good work in us will bring it to completion, and he is able to complete what he started in us. So he is the sovereign God who will accomplish his purpose. What child is this? He is the personal God who has made himself accessible. Notice what it said here. It says that they went to register in verse 5. She was pledged to Mary, who was expecting him, and while they were there, the baby was born. That was God's plan. And so we see the sovereign God, while they were there, he was born, all in God's time. But then, verse 7, she wrapped him in cloths and placed him where? In a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Just stop and grab a hold of what that means for a moment. We've heard this story so often and we run over it. But God chose for his place of arrival, for his coming to earth, he placed himself in a manger. What's that mean? He's the personal God who has made himself accessible to you and me. The creator of the universe, and just try to grab a hold of this, that the creator of the universe, the one who made all things, the one who was limitless in his power, the one who is worthy of all worship, praise, and glory, wrapped himself in human flesh and placed himself in a manger so that all could be free to find him and all would have access to him. A manger, a feeding trough for animals. But God chose to place himself there so that all of us would have access to him. He was the King of Kings. He could have made his arrival in a palace, but that's not what he chose. He wanted to make himself accessible because he's personable. He's a personal God who cares that personally and deeply for us. He took on human flesh so that he could relate to us and understand us in every way. That he who was God took on humanity so that he could identify. John 1:14 says that the Word, who was God, who was before all things and who created all things, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The word means tabernacled. He pitched his tent with us, close to us. He moved into the neighborhood so that we could see his glory and his grace fully demonstrated, and so that we could have access to him. That's how much God loves you. That's the personal God that he is. Came making himself readily accessible by faith. It's hard for us to fully understand that. Now, a little boy was walking down the street one day, and he was walking past a pet store, and he saw this sign, puppies for sale, in the pet store. So he went in, and he went to the shop owner. He said, "Mister, how much are you selling those puppies for?" he asked. And the store owner replied, "Anywhere from $30 to $50. Now, that's a bargain for a puppy. But he said, "Anywhere from $30 to $50. And the young boy says, "Well, I have $2.37. The little boy said, "Can I please look at them?" The store owner smiled, and he whistled it out of the shop. Kennel came five tiny little balls of fur. And one puppy was lagging considerably behind him. He was the runt. And immediately the boy singled out the one that was lagging behind. He was limping. The puppy was limping. And he says, "What's wrong with that little dog?" And the owner explained that he had no hip socket, that he was born that way, that he would always be lame. And the little boy got excited. And he said, "That's the puppy I want to buy." And the store owner said, "You don't want to buy that little dog. If you really want him, I'll give him to you." And the little boy got quite upset. And he looked straight at the store owner's eyes, and he said, pointing his finger, he said, "I don't want you to give me him. That little dog is worth every bit as much as all the others are. I'll pay the full price. In fact, I'll give you $2.37 now, and I'll pay you 50 cents a month until he's paid for." The shop owner said, "You really don't want to buy him. This little dog, he's never going to be able to walk or run or jump or play with you like all the other puppies will." To this, the little boy reached down, pulled up his pant leg to reveal a badly twisted, crippled leg that was supported by a metal brace. He looked up at the store owner and he said, "Well, I don't run that well myself either. And I think the little puppy would need someone who understands." That's what Jesus did for us. He took on human flesh so that he could understand us in our suffering, in our humanity, in our pain, in all that we go through. He's a personal God who made himself accessible. What child is this? Just think of that. God himself, who personally cares for you and placed himself in a manger. He could have chose any place, but he put himself in the manger where shepherds, wise men, anyone could come to him because he cares that deeply for us. The wonder of that. Mary didn't fully understand or comprehend the greatness of that either. It says in verse 19 that she pondered these things in her heart. Is she reflect on it? Why would God, the creator of the universe, the Lord of all, place himself in a manger, a feeding trough for animals? And Mary couldn't understand that. She comprehended it. She pondered it. We try to ponder it, and there's only one reason why God would do that. Because he loves you that much. And he wants to show you that by making himself accessible in every way, personally caring for us. He is the sovereign God who will accomplish his good purpose. He's the personal God who made himself accessible. Third, he's the Savior God who brings us deliverance. Verses 8 to 11, it says that after the birth, the shepherds were out in the field watching their flock, and in the middle of the night, it was in the darkness of the night, all of a sudden the bright light appeared. They were terrified. What was going on? And the angel spoke to them and said, "Don't be afraid. I have good news for you. Because today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord." What child is this? The child he was born and placed in the manger was a Savior of the world. Christ, who came to bring salvation, his name Jesus, meaning Savior, the one who saves. Because we needed deliverance. We needed to be delivered from our sin. They thought they needed to be delivered from Rome. But a greater deliverance than being delivered from Rome was being delivered from their sin, and that was why Jesus came. And the angel said, "It's not just for you. This good news is for everyone. It's for the entire world." And he identified him, that you will find him in a manger wrapped in cloth. And the scripture doesn't tell us, but I was reflecting on this again this morning, and I was spending some time in prayer, and I was reflecting on this again this morning. And I said, you wonder what Mary thought. Mary and Joseph thought. Mary had just given birth. She's probably around 14 years of age. She had just given birth, 14, 15, given birth to Jesus. We don't know how long, but all of a sudden she's recovering from the birth, and you women that have gone through birth know how traumatic experience that could be. She's recovering from that, and all of a sudden these strangers appear. These strangers appear into the scene where they are. Shepherds from the outside that would have been despised and lowly, they appear in there to her. What did she, the Bible doesn't say what she thought or what she said, but they appeared to her, and we don't know what the conversation was, but they recognized when they saw Jesus in the manger, the child you see in the manger is the Savior of the world, the one who had come to bring deliverance. Thank the Lord that our Savior was born. What we needed, God provided, and that was a Savior from our sin. What child is this? Fourth, the child that was born is the Almighty God, who is worthy of all praise and reverence. Notice what the angel said. It said, "Today in the city of David is born to you a Savior. He is Christ, the Anointed One, the Lord Almighty, God Himself. He is Christ the Lord." And then suddenly it says, "The company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace on man on whom his favor rests.'" And the angels broke out in a song of praise and glory. The first heavenly praise to the Lord Almighty, because he was the Almighty God, worthy of all praise, honor, and glory. And his glory was made manifest that night and broke into the darkness of Bethlehem. And the whole night sky was ablaze with the glory of God as the Almighty God made his arrival in the town of Bethlehem. And our Lord, who we worship, the baby in the manger, is the Almighty God who was worthy of all reverence and praise. That was why we read later when the wise men in Matthew chapter 2, when the wise men sought him and they sought him diligently, and it said, "Where is the king who was born of the Jews? That we have seen his star and we have come to worship him." And it says, when they found the place where he was laying at that point, it was not the stable, it was somewhere else, but they found the house and they opened up their treasures and they bowed down before him as an act of worship and reverence. These kings bowing before the King of Kings. Because the Savior who was born is worthy of Almighty, of all praise and reverence and honor. All glory and praise be to him. And what child is this? Fifth, Luke says he is the living God who transforms our lives. Because verses 15 to 20, It says, the angels then, they left them and went back into heaven. The shepherds said to each other, well, let's go and see this thing that has been told us about, the news that we've been told. So they hurried off and they went into the city. They went looking for a baby in the manger, as the angels told them. And they went and they found him, and they diligently sought him out, and they found him, and they went and bowed before him. And then they returned home. It says they returned back, glorifying and praising God. Their life was changed and they were transformed because they were in the presence of the living God. And after looking into the face of God lying in that manger, do you think that the shepherds' lives remained the same? No, they were transformed. Their fear was turned to faith. Their sorrow to joy. They returned, it says, praising God. And when you and I gaze into the face of our Savior in the manger, and we get a fresh new look at him and realize that we are in the presence of the living Almighty God, our lives are never the same. Our lives are transformed, just as many before us have been and continue to be. And how? And after seeing the glory of God through the angels and the glory of God being manifest and also the glory of God in their midst through Jesus, do you think that the shepherds continued to live for their own glory after that? Or do you think it says they returned giving praise and glory to God? Whenever you and I gaze upon the face of God and we see the child in the manger for who he is, the God, the Creator, the Lord of all, and we gaze upon his face, our lives are changed and transformed and continue to be because he is the living God at work within us. So what child is this? Who do we celebrate? Like many, like that Sunday school boy in the Sunday school class, many had a wrong understanding of the birth of Jesus, and many people do. And they say, oh, it's just a nice baby that was born. It's a nice story. No, it's not. It's God himself, the Almighty God, the Sovereign One who is in control and will accomplish his purpose, the personal God who made himself accessible to you, the Savior God who brings our deliverance, the Almighty God who is worthy of worship, and the living God who transforms our life. So whatever your need is this morning, know that the child of the manger is the Lord of all. And it's here this morning to save you, to transform you, to be accessible to you in your time of need. And he never, ever tires of us coming to him. He made himself accessible that we can come to him directly into his presence and sit at his feet. And what a privilege it is to sit in the presence of the Almighty God and to dwell in his presence. He's made himself that accessible and personal to you. And he cares that deeply. And he is sovereign, and he's in control, and he will bring about his good purpose in your life. Just believe it and trust in him. What child is this? This is Christ the Lord, whom angels sing and we adore. The one who gives all glory and praise and honor. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that Jesus, God in the flesh, have come to us. May we be overwhelmed as we behold again, what child is this who was born? It was just not an ordinary baby, but the birth of Jesus changed everything because it was the arrival of God in the flesh on earth. The sovereign God who is at work in our lives and at work in the world, bringing about your good purpose. God, we thank you that you are personal and accessible to us and that you placed yourself in a manger, wrapping yourself in human flesh to become like us in every way so that you can understand us and we would have access to you. That you came to save us from our sin because we cannot save ourselves. And you came, Lord, in your power, and you came in your goodness, that you are the Almighty God and you are worthy of all reverence, honor, and glory. and that you are the living God at work transforming us every day, making us more and more like yourself, transforming us more and more into your glory, into your likeness. So Lord, do your work in us. May we continue to be filled with amazement and wonder, just as Mary pondered and treasured all these things in her heart. May we ponder and treasure all these things in our heart of what the magnitude of this day means, and the child who came to us, God himself, you in the flesh, for us. May you be filled with your wonder, majesty, and glory. And just as the shepherds, beholding your face, beholding your glory, return, giving praise, glory to you for what we've discovered and for what we've experienced in our own through our own personal relationship with you. So out of that joy, Lord, we go from here. We go carrying that joy to those and that message of what, why we celebrate and why we rejoice. And if there's anyone here today that needs you as Savior, that they would be, today would be that day. Anyone, Lord, that needs to be reminded that you are in control and that you are working your good in their life, just encourage them this morning. If there's anyone here this morning that just is discouraged, just remind them they have that access to you and you are there and you understand and you care deeply. And we thank you that you personally care for us and are with us. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.